from Shackleton's Hut, Cape Royds, Antarctica, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, some new research has just landed, which gives cause for optimism on improving cycling for all of us, but it raises a big question about whether there's anything that we can actually do about it. We hear directly from one of the authors.
We've also got some scary news on car crash prevention systems, an epic comeback story in the making, the end of Unchained, and a roundup of the most hipster gravel and ultra races from the last week.
Yeah. Bet you weren't expecting to hear that. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that 2018 Tour de France winner and all-round good guy Geraint Thomas is now officially racing his last season as a pro.
Yeah, rounding out a 19-year pro career, which includes not only that Tour win and a selection of other major World Tour races, but also Olympic gold medals and world titles on the track. Let's see what else he can rack up this year.
Yeah, Geraint, I think, genuinely was one of the nicest guys I ever had the privilege of getting utterly smashed by. So my fingers are crossed, actually, that he goes out with a bang this year.
Well, we can always make a comeback in 3.5 years, like former world and Olympic champion Anna van der Breggen is doing this year, because we learned she's very much still has it, finishing second in her first race back after retirement.
Yeah, to Demi Vollering, no less. Now, we also learned this week that Cannondale have just released what is, by our reckoning, the most expensive production gravel bike ever, their new Lab 71 Supercross.
It's heart-stoppingly gorgeous, and at $15,000, heart-stoppingly expensive. But fortunately, you can get all of the benefits of the new frame of fork with only a 100-gram weight penalty and cheaper components for 3.5 times less.
It does sound like a better value option,
doesn't
it?
It does sound like a sensible choice.
Now, finally, who chooses the sensible thing, though, in cycling? I mean, if you can afford it, anyway, now finally, we also learned this week that some very interesting research has been published by not one but two of GCN's all-time favourite professors, Ian Walker and Marco ter Bromstrøet, in Global Environmental Change.
I mean, it's an absolute shame that Dan is not here. Those have got to be his favourite journals.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, how else do you think we heard about it? Now, Lloydie dropped us a message.
Now, you might remember that Professor Ian Walker formed the basis of Sy's Carspiracy video, where he showed how, as a society, we're all hardwired to accept that the car is king, and most of us have a blind spot as to the negatives of car-dominant culture that we have.
Yeah, now, in this follow-on, Ian Walker has teamed up with that Dutch-based cycling professor, Bromstrøet, to find out how this so-called motonormative mindset compares in different countries and how that has come about, ultimately what it all means. So I caught up with Ian in this very spot a little bit earlier on.
So we did this study in three countries, the UK, the USA and the Netherlands. We got over 2,000 people. And we asked them a series of questions to measure these kinds of biases. Do people have these blind spots and double standards around driving specifically? Then we also asked them a bunch of questions to try and work out where these came from. And it was incredibly interesting. We found, sure enough, those biases exist, and notably, substantially lower in the Netherlands than in the US and the UK, which were very similar to each other. So immediately that suggests that your environment, your culture, your built environment must be doing something to shape people's perceptions of what's normal and what's proper. But we also found that there's multiple shaping effects going on. So that big stuff, like which country do you live in, or do you live in the countryside, those things mattered for shaping people's perceptions and biases. But so did, in a completely separate way, what your social circle thinks. So if your friends and family are quite into cars, you will probably have more pro-car biases, but the process is completely separate to what you're internalizing from where you live. So immediately we showed that was a bit more complicated, but we've got some handle now on how these biases are being created. The other major thing we found, which is incredibly interesting, is this what's called a pluralistic ignorance effect, which is where the majority assume they are in a minority as a result of motor normativity. So what we found was most people, 65, 66, 69% of people across the countries, that are really consistent across those three countries, said, I support being able to travel without using a car more than other people. Now, it's impossible for two-thirds of people to support something more than average. You know, the majority cannot, you can't have two-thirds of people above average. So most people thought that they supported being able to travel without using a car more than other people. So the majority think they are the minority.
So I suppose on the one hand here, there's some very good news in that the majority of people support better cycling infrastructure and less reliance on cars. So that's great. What do we do with the second part, which is that the majority of people don't want to speak up because they think they're in the minority?
Well, if we're right that there's this pluralistic ignorance effect and people are intimidated from standing up because they assume they're the only one who wants change, there's a pretty clear message for leaders and politicians here, which is when you're planning to do something new, don't just put it out and say, hey, who's got an opinion on this? Because that majority are going to stay quiet if they all think they're the only one who supports change. The way to do it is to do systematic checking. Go and get a representative sample of people and ask all of them what they think and get that proper rounded view of public opinion. Don't just invite loud voices who've got an opinion to shout at you.
I think, though, that technique would quieten the loud voices, or do you think that those voices will be shouting in the media and on the streets, irrespective of a good solid sample?
Yeah, I mean, there will always be people who aren't happy with change, and there will always be people who resist change. And if the majority truly want to resist change, we should probably pay attention to that, or at least explain why the status quo is a problem. But it becomes hard to demand that things stay exactly the same as they are if there is evidence that the majority don't want that. And we saw in this study, and we've seen in previous studies, that when you ask, the majority want our streets to be done differently. We just don't get that voice coming across. But there's really promising signs from multiple pieces of work in lots of different countries. So, for example, one thing we know is that if you can build infrastructure that works, you build good infrastructure, and people start using it, then their attitudes tend to shift after they start using it. So if you build a great footpath, you build a great cycle track, people will start to use it because it seems easy. And then after a few months of using it, they'll think it's amazing because, well, I do it every day. It must be amazing. And your everyday behavior often comes before your attitudes, not afterwards, as we might think.
Well, having had time to digest it, Alex, and my lunch, actually, since that conversation, I do, on the one hand, right, feel optimistic, certainly at the thought that even in the US, people, the majority of people, want to be able to get around without using their cars.
Yeah, that really surprised me about the US as well.
Yeah, and then on the same breath, I'm also slightly frustrated, right? The ability for us to have safer, cleaner, quieter, nicer urban areas is being hamstrung, basically, by local authorities, governments, whoever, effectively not doing the best kind of consultation that they can.
It's an emerging science site. Maybe research like this is the incentive they need to spend more money, which is not something they typically have lying around these days.
True. That is true, yeah.
And how amazing is it that wanting to improve non-car travel is in the majority?
Yes, that is also true. And that is absolutely great news. And and surprising as well, genuinely. That is amazing. By and large, I do think that local authorities and governments know the power of active travel, like cycling, to be able to transform not only like our roads and our cities, but people's health and well-being as well. I think they do know that. But then they meet that vicious and vociferous criticism whenever they try and implement anything. I had a chuckle the other day, right? So where I live, a city called Bristol in the UK, there is a big development plan being discussed, the Western Harbour, okay? And there are posters out there the council have made asking for feedback on it. One of them that was in the local press the other day has got a sticker on there saying, no say for the local community, which is so ironic because it's placed over this sign saying, we want to hear from you. I don't get it.
Well, I'm kind of also guilty of this as well. You see, I feel like you believe you're part of a minority, therefore you don't typically speak up about it because you think, oh, I don't want to stand out and be singled out if that's not what everyone thinks. But it is encouraging to hear that perhaps looking for better cycling infrastructure is like a majority thing. But I kind of now feel like I'm also part of the problem, because if I feel this way and others feel this way, we're all not helping the situation out.
I do know what you mean, actually. We work in cycling. Cycling has paid our wages for a long time in one way, shape or form. And yet, have you ever written a letter to the council to ask for a bike path?
No. I can't actively think of a time when I've gone particularly out of my way to really drive forwards improvement in sort of any area that I almost feel strongly about.
Yeah.
Which feels like a bit of a sad thing to say.
Well,
actually.
I mean, I think a lot of people are completely like separated from local policy. I mean, put your hands up at home. We'll do a show of hands. Who has actively tried to implement something in their local area?
I feel like I need to put my hands down for this.
Yeah.
I haven't at all.
I mean, unfortunately, I can't actually see anything. But maybe stick a comment in the comment section, because we'd be super interested to know. For me, on the one hand, my fingers are just crossed that stuff will happen. But honestly, I'm reminded again that we can make our voices heard now. Like, I know this isn't what Professor Walker's talking about, but I remember speaking to a local councillor a couple of years back, and he said that the number of people that actually do engage with local issues by talking to the council is so small that if everyone watching this show wrote a letter to their local authorities saying, hey, I'm a cyclist, it'd be great to have more bike paths around here, we would probably end up with an entire active transport revolution and bike paths flipping everywhere.
So are we saying that safer cycling is in our hands then, or not?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we as cyclists can definitely do more, as we've just sat here and said. You know, we're as guilty as anyone for not doing enough. Ultimately, though, I do think maybe for like major shifts in policy, we are going to have to wait for the big gears of government to slowly grind into action. I think government gears are like big chain rings. I reckon we're talking like at least a 60 tooth, possibly even more.
A 64, maybe even paired up with a SRAM 10 tooth at the back.
Very powerful, but it takes a lot to get it going.
Yeah, I completely agree, actually, and I'm super interested to know what everyone at home thinks. Has what Professor Walker said surprised you? Are you feeling optimistic, or do you think that things will never change? Let us know in the comments section below.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now. I'm going to start with the news that Pro Cycling's TV exposure woes just seem like they've taken another blow. Although it may just be a flesh wound, Netflix have announced that season 3 of Tour de France Unchained is going to be the last. So one more series to look out for. Presumably they're going to drop it just before the Tour de France.
You'd think.
But no more filming at this year's race.
By the sound of things, while the series has performed well in many countries, it didn't in France, which is the reason they're kind of giving up. But it's not just cycling. Rugby is also one that is getting axed.
Yes, that's right. I mean, let's face it, it's not a big surprise. It's certainly not cheap TV to make.
No.
Not at all. And I think, personally, I think that 3 seasons should actually be viewed as a success.
It's a good run.
For cycling. Yeah, it's a success, not a failure. If they'd canned it after 1, then I think we'd have said that sucks. But 3 seasons, that's pretty good. Not everything needs to run for 8 seasons or more.
True, but it's one less thing to tout to potential sponsors, and I'll miss it personally too.
Will you actually?
Yeah, I actually will, because even though I've seen the race, I like watching the different angle of viewing, like what's happening sort of. The correlation between different riders, teams, personalities. I feel like, well, I mean, this is the whole point of the show. You see behind the scenes and you see something different.
Yeah. Even though they chopped it up loads to make an interesting story.
Yeah, okay, that, I think you do also have to accept there's a part of, it is also TV, so they've tried to make, sometimes they might have tried to make something out of nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it is entertaining, right? And it is entertainment. I was quite interested to know what's created in its absence, really. You can be sure that something will fill the void, won't you?
I hope something does fill the void, and certainly, like, I personally like the behind the scenes of whatever types of sport it is, because there's the same kind of principle for almost all sports out there at the moment. And even if I've got pretty much no interest in those sports, I find it interesting by seeing these behind the scenes things. So I think it just having something like this for cycling was good, and I hope that there is a similar kind of replacement to draw people in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon they will. I reckon they will.
You think so?
Right, next up, RoadCC ran a story about some new research that was carried out by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, which is a very interesting sounding US-based organisation.
But they have some great Christmas parties there. they looked at how effective automatic crash prevention systems were when dealing with pedestrians in dark conditions from three different car brands. You had Honda, Mazda and Subaru. But get this right, what is bonkers is that the Mazda and Honda system seem to get tripped up by reflective clothing. Both perform better when the crash test dummy was wearing either black or just white clothing.
That is a bit scary, isn't it? Like, it's cool in a way that they work better when, as a pedestrian, presumably by extension as a cyclist, you don't have to wear high vis, because I don't think you should have to wear high vis, no. Even though maybe that's the sensible option. But also, like, it seems like quite a basic, fundamental thing to get wrong. Subaru got it right, didn't they? I've long thought that the evolution of safety tech in cars does leave me feeling a little bit uneasy. Like, statistically, it's apparently effective overall, but you do wonder, like, will people start to trust it too much? And be like, oh yeah, I can just be on my phone now because the car's going to stop if need be.
I just have a feeling you get a little bit too on the side. You're like, oh, modern tech is so scary. Actually, speaking of which, in our recent stolen bike video, we found that the AirTag didn't work for some reason. However, in the comments, many people were suggesting it was because the carbon frame acts like a Faraday cage.
Yeah, now, we don't think this is true,
do we?
Given that Faraday cages need to be metal, and it did kind of work before it got nicked, but regardless, there is a good news story from Eugene, Oregon, no less, where police were able to recover a stolen bike because it was fitted with an AirTag. So, sometimes they do work.
I mean, that is cool, isn't it? Now, Si, permit me to throw in some nerdy tech news here.
Go on, mate. Because
our mates at Silka, wherever it is here, have just dropped some new tubeless sealant, which is now injectable through the valve, unlike the previous one.
That is good.
It now also lasts for more than 6 months.
That is good.
Yeah. And they reckon it will still seal up holes up to 7.5 millimetres in diameter, I believe.
That's massive.
That's huge, yeah.
Crikey.
The cool thing is that, as I say, you can put it through the valves now, which is... I mean, you were particularly excited about.
I am. I mean, that's what you need from your tyre sealants. Yes, I'm going to be grabbing some before I leave work today.
This one is actually yours, if you look on the bottom, SR.
No, someone's put my initials on it.
This is like a limited edition bottle. It's really not, but, you know, it makes you feel special.
It does make you. Someone's put a little Sharpie on the bottom of the bottle. Okay, thanks. Right, we're going to do a little racing roundup here, as there are some super interesting tidbits going on from the world of racing, not just road, which Lloydie has covered in the GCN Racing News Show on the GCN Racing channel, but gravel and ultra endurance as well.
Yeah, we mentioned Anna van der Breggen at the start of the show, but honestly, her first performance has really taken me by surprise.
Yeah, so she is a former world and Olympic champ, of course, a four-time winner of the Giro. She's done a clean sweep of the Ardennes Classics, but she retired just the year before the Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift kicked off. Since her retirement, women's cycling has changed pretty dramatically, I think. Yeah, I mean, it was only 3 years ago, right? But since then, there's been more money, more riders, faster speeds, bigger stakes, and yes, of course, that aforementioned Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift. I honestly thought she'd be a little bit off the pace when she came back, but it looks like, frankly, she's going better than ever.
Well, you know what they say, Si, don't you? Form is temporary, class is permanent.
That does explain a lot about GCN presenters, doesn't it?
Yeah. Particularly us.
Yeah, basically.
Speaking of class, the gravel racing season kicked off in Europe at the weekend with the UCI Gravel World Series race, which was won by none other than Alejandro Valverde, still going strong at the age of 44.
Wowzers.
The women's race was won by Unbound 2023 winner Caroline Schiff.
Yeah, meanwhile, the hipster's choice of gravel racing, the Santa Val in Girona, more differently coloured cycling shorts there than you could shake a stick at, because that appears to be, Cool. Say the new thing. Yeah, I mean, it's been happening.
I think we're not hipster enough to know this stuff.
Well, I know about this stuff, mate. Yeah, no, I do. It's been happening over the last couple of years. Anyway, including white shorts. I know. We're getting sidetracked here. Six-time mountain bike marathon world champ Annika Langvad won the women's race, whilst the Dane Magnus Back Claris took the men's win.
And the last bit of cool racing news, the Atlas Mountain Race, an uber-tough ultra race through Morocco, was won by Alex McCormack in an endurance sprint finish just 1 hour and 32 minutes ahead of second place Benedict Borsos.
Yes. I mean, that is pretty darn close in ultra-endurance things.
Yeah.
He couldn't stop for lunch. He couldn't stop for a snooze.
Absolutely, down to the wire.
Yeah, 100% was just riding at threshold. I mean, they were pretty rapid this year. It was really interesting as well, actually, to read an Instagram post from old friend of GCN, Josh Ibbett. He's a former winner of the Transcontinental race, no less. And actually, a man that I got to go bikepacking with in Morocco many years ago for a GCN video.
Humble bike.
Yes, yeah, this is how we roll. Anyway, Josh said on Instagram, and I quote, "Despite my fitness levels remaining very similar to the past years, I keep finding myself gradually sliding down the results sheet." He and I both. Yeah. Anyway, he thinks this is a reflection of the development of bikepacking and ultra cycling races. Basically, the level of athlete has increased, he says. And so we're now seeing world-class caliber riders dominating these events for days at a time.
Yeah,
so,
I actually found that really interesting to hear.
Yeah. I mean, Josh says it's good for the sport. I mean, I can see it being good for the sport as well, but
not necessarily great for egos.
Not great for, no, we're not good for Josh's ego. I think that's what he said. But yeah, I mean, it makes you think, where's it going to end up? How fast are they going to be going and for how long?
It's just, I don't know, but it's not filling me with hope for my Unbound challenge.
No. No, well, at least that's short enough that you won't need to sleep.
Sure.
But it's when you start needing a snooze in a race, that's when it gets a bit dodged, doesn't it?
I'd probably plan to not stop and have a lie down in a river like Connor did.
Nope, I wouldn't do that. Or eat 49 hot dogs in the middle of it like Connor did as well.
But don't think I've eaten that many hot dogs in my entire life.
No, only Connor can do that. It's time now for Hack / Bodge of the week, what I mean. That part of the show where we go through some of the brilliant hacks or rubbish bodges that you've been sending in over the last week. We're going to start actually with an update for last week. Right, so Alex.
Give us some context here.
So someone sent in a cafe lock that they'd made out of a little padlock and some fishing wire. Mm. Okay, Dan and I were not convinced that this would provide much security to your bike. It looked like you could break it by pulling on the bike.
Yeah, okay.
Which we said, I think Dan might have given it a hack and I said bodge, I can't remember. Anyway, Sam McNamara said the breaking strain of that fishing wire can be anything from 150 to 400 pounds, which is used to catch 500 kilo marlin, which is a fish, I think. Yeah. So no way you could snap that by yanking at it. So there we go, Stan corrected. Maybe that is like a decent little cafe lock.
I'm going to throw it out there. I would have said that was a hack, like a good thing.
Really?
Yeah, I think it is good. See, it makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, I was about to say in the minority. I think probably wrong is the...
Well, look, even if you do think you're in a minority, as we've discussed, you need to speak up about it and do something about it.
Just in case you are in a majority. Anyway, Sam, thank you very much for getting back in touch on that one. First of all, for a new hack / bodge of the week is this one from Costia, an aero pump attachment.
At first glance, I'm going to say I thought this was your bike and what a side onto his bike.
I too am lucky enough to have a white Canyon Aeroad. So for podcast listeners, let me describe it to you. It is a beautiful Canyon Aeroad in white. Underneath the Wahoo mount out front, there is a custom mini pump attachment, so the bike looks like some kind of unicorn.
I think
basically it's like dangling off the front.
I think the easiest way to sum it up would be in place of a light on the front of their bike, they've clipped a pump.
yes. An easier description.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, Kostia says, my cycling buddies kept making fun of my desire to have it on my bike and not in a back pocket, especially as I got an aero pump, and the pump attached to the bottle cage almost doubles the width of the frame. Then I discovered that the pump is the same shape as a front light holder that comes with a computer mount. So here you go. Nothing sticks out to the side.
Like, I applaud the thought process gone in here, but I absolutely, it's killing me inside to look at that.
Yeah, me too. Basically, I am of the opinion that mini pumps should be as small as possible, basically.
Closing the name.
Because you don't use your mini pump far more than you use it. Therefore, it should be designed to be carried as opposed to used.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
For like the 4 months a year that my mini pump stays in my pocket, like I can live with an extra minute of pumping at the side of the road. So
don't say that phrase out of context.
Nope.
I'm going to say it's a bodge.
I'm going to say it's a bodge. Kostia, you've ruined your amazing bike by making it look like a unicorn.
And if you do see sight at the side of the road, struggling to pump his tyres, I'll just ride straight past him.
I'm happy. If you see me pumping at the side of the road, you can be sure that I've got a grin on my face. Right then, who's sent in this next one?
This is from Farrell, and it is, let me read the description now. Indoor pedaling on the trainer kills my lower back, so I replaced the flat bar supports on my Zwift hub with rockers cut from wood, made my 2 hour Zwift session a lot less uncomfortable.
This has blown my mind slightly. It's been a while since we've had a rocker plate. Hack or bodge. But I've never seen one like this. Literally removing the supports of your indoor trainer and replacing them with like wooden ones that are like
curved, like a bow shape underneath.
Yeah.
I think that if I was going to be picky and try to take this apart, I think they really could have improved this by adding a smooth curve rather than two angular lines and a flat section. I don't want to pick faults.
No, well, I mean, we do. That's what we're doing here.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, sorry.
I applaud the ingenuity. I worry slightly that it might not be very secure. But then I suppose, you know.
I mean, they've said it works. If it works for them, like, top job. But for me, overall, it's the bodge.
I think the fact that they do say it works means that I've got to say hack. And I guess if it breaks or they fall off, God forbid, then they can always just make them again. Because they don't look like they're...
If they break and you fall off, you're definitely having a sore back, aren't you?
Yeah. All right, so one hack, one bodge for that one. All right, thanks, Farrell, for that one.
Next one is from Rich O'Donoghue with some homemade overshoes. They say they've been trying to find a new way of keeping their toes warm, spent ages looking for a decent pair of overshoes, only to have the new overshoes not work as well as advertised. So took the old ones, cut the fronts off, and then they now stick them over the top of their new ones.
Double layered. You know what, actually... Back in the day, long time ago, when I used to do back-to-back five-hour rides in the winter, I had a system that was so good. I had a thin pair of overshoes, and then I'd put cling film over the top, and then a thick pair of overshoes on top, and I never got cold feet.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, it worked super well. And actually, just this morning, when I was commuting in, so I've become a little bit addicted to those core sensors that we've got.
You were actually telling me about this the other day.
Not for heat training at the minute, but just to see how hot I am. And anyway, riding in this morning, I was like, bloody hell, my core temperature is going up and up and up.
What did it get to?
Got to like 39.2 this morning.
That's like, you're in the realms of like really effective heat training.
Yeah, on a zone 2 commute. So I was like, right, okay, we'll sod this for laugh. So I unzipped my windproof thermal jersey, so it's flapping open in 2 degrees. Lo and behold, my feet got cold, but I still didn't cool down. So anyway, I'm going to do some more scientific research with my core temperature
sensor.
Maybe
you just defy the laws of, like, body thermoregulation.
Well, long-time viewers of GCN will know that I am quite sweaty. So, you know, maybe this is shedding a light on why that is. I applaud this. I mean, it looks like bobbins, but I'm going to give that a hack if you've got warm toes.
Yeah, I'll go for that. Hack. Good on you.
I'd probably just put them underneath your new overshoes.
Keep everything looking a lot sort of neater and smarter.
If it was underneath, yeah. Put them underneath. Right then, lastly, we got this one from Dunker. Spotted in the work bike shed, wooden block used as a bracket for basket on handlebars, neatly secured with tie wraps.
I'm sorry, but this is a bodge. Wood and bikes don't mix together that well.
And those are the puniest cable ties on the planet. Now, I'm assuming that basket is attached to the fork somehow as well.
Yeah, I can see the stage.
Yeah, but I don't mess around with stuff hanging over your front wheel.
No.
No, I mean, just don't mess around with that.
If those puny zip ties break, it's not going to be great for your shopping or your teeth if you flop your handlebars.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's an instant bodge because they're zip ties, but yeah. Dunker, that's an instant bodge. Thank you very much for sending that one in. Right, that's it for this week from Hack or Bodge. Keenan coming in. Flipping love this dissection the great and the terrible.
The good, bad and the ugly.
Basically, yeah. There is a link, obviously, to upload your own hacks and bodges in the description beneath this video.
Plenty of wooden zip ties, please.
Okay, it's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you've got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we will give you in just 1 second after we've dealt with the not-so-small matter of last week's results.
Okay, so shall I read out the caption?
Yeah, go for it.
This is from Stephen-NQ5KD. They say, never knew the path to road cycling success was such a rocky one.
Ah, oh, there you go. Any time I look at that image of someone, I don't know who it is, riding down that road that looks like a gravel track, I absolutely belt at that. That's
a cool picture.
It is a cool picture, isn't it? So, yeah, well done, Stephen. Get in touch. We will get your Camelback water bottle out to you. Now, here is the picture for this week. In Dan's absence, seeing as he is currently sunning himself at the UAE Tour, shall I roll up my sleeves?
Yeah, please.
Give it a go. Okay, this is Ben Tullett off his bike and running at the Classica Jaén Paradiso. Whew, I feel a bit nervous.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
No pressure, because you got me going afterwards, maybe.
Okay, all right. Run training is becoming increasingly popular for professional cyclists, but there is definitely a time and a place for it. You seem pretty bowled over by that one.
Well, I'm taken aback because I don't know what... I'm still racking my brains if I've got anything better to say.
I mean, you don't need to, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to hold back.
Yeah, all right.
I don't want to embarrass myself, all right?
Okay. Well, anyway, normal service resumes next week. Ben Tullett, you'll be pleased to hear, remounted his bike and still finished seventh.
Yeah.
That's news just in, actually, as we film this.
Good on him, actually. Previous, a lot of experience in cyclocross, so obviously not fazed by that at all.
No. Also, fair play, Ineos Grenadiers. Mikhail Kwiatkowski, talking of old'uns, coming out, win
still
that
got
one.
It.
Absolutely, yeah. Anyway, if you think that you can better that caption, you really can, then... get involved, stick your caption in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week. Okay, comment of the week now. We're going to start, as always, with some of the brilliant comments you've left under last week's GCN show. Alex, for context.
Yes, please.
Okay, so last week's main talking point was this really interesting bit of research where a guy had got mega fit for an event, swimming and running, but don't judge us, and had done like a bunch of fitness tests at the same time. Then he'd done nothing, no exercise for 12 weeks, did the same test again. Funnily enough, he was a lot less fit.
Yeah.
But then he trained for just 12 weeks and he redid the fitness tests and his VO2 max and a few other parameters had improved beyond where he'd got to for his world title.
So what we're saying, rest is best?
Well, saying that some rest could be good.
Okay.
Anyway, this comment from Tony Sadler, I thought was brilliant. He said, well, boys, thank you for this. I'm off for a lay down until I get fitter. Which I thought was genius. Yeah, nice summary for that one, Tony.
Yeah, I like that. There's also another comment here. I feel like I'm about to read a foreign language, but everyone stick with me here. Terry Moore says, a schmangle is a tool of choice for setting the restability of a framus. Avoid the temptation to use a quadrandical for this task as its insufficient tempacity and your framus will become even more out of wringle.
Thank you very much, Terry. Neatly clearing up what on earth a schmagel is for us there. So, I love that Terry took the time to write that.
Good on him.
Genuinely made me chuckle.
Also, good on Ian Singleton for the slightly questionable comment where I say, great show, guys, even if Dan is a bit boring. Great.
I mean, Ian did go on to say some really nice things about Dan, but I deleted that, seeing as Dan's not here.
Brilliant.
And then Cyclonut96 said, good show as always. I have one suggestion. I miss knowing what the other members of your channel are currently doing. Maybe you can briefly mention this at some point. It's like a family show and we want to know what everyone else is. I thought at this point we could just phone someone up.
Talking about chain waxing or aero.
Hello, mate. We're just filming the GCN show, and there was a comment that said, what are other presenters doing at the moment? So I thought I'd phone you up to find out what you're currently doing at the moment.
I'm currently in the maintenance set. I am balancing some wheels for a maintenance video.
There you go. That's awesome. All right, mate, thanks for that. Let's see whether Dan picks up.
Why have you got Dan Lloyd saved on your phone as Dan Lloyd Babe?
Don't you?
No. Be a bit awkward if you rejected the call, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would phone up Connor, but he's on holiday.
Yeah. Dan's quite literally left us hanging.
Yeah, he has, yeah. Bit upset about that. WhatsApp calls don't work here, unfortunately. Oh, there he is. Ringing, yeah. Ringing. Hello, mate. Hello. Can you hear me? Yeah, he's not wrong. WhatsApp calls don't work. Dan, if you can hear us, we're just filming the GCN show. Oh, no, he's hung up. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Should we move on? So there were a lot of comments under your video about how the fact that you've avoided riding in the rain because you really love an indoor training. I did think, well, a few of them reading out. DPS 140. This definitely reminds me of the difference between commuters like me and sporting cyclists like you all. I ride in the rain because sometimes it rains and I still need to get to work.
Yeah, I mean, they raise a good point.
But you, I'm going to turn my phone off silent now. Oh, hey, here we go. I'm at the Belgian bar, so it would have been cold. Third day of drinking this year. It's a Tuesday, Dan.
Yeah. You can't literally drink it on the job. Those pro bikes are going to not be very accurate.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we'll see how he's getting on.
So, commuting to work. I avoid the rain when I'm commuting to work and I get the train if it's raining.
Fair enough. Nigel, 4054, said, agree with your approach wholeheartedly, Alex. It's very similar to what I do. I don't necessarily dislike riding in the cold or the rain, but what I do love is riding on Zwift. It saves me so much time and money cleaning and maintaining my outdoor bike.
That's actually a big thing for me because I've got two of everything because generally Chloe and I go cycling. So after a ride, I'm like, cool, two dirty bikes to clean. Double the amount of cycling kit. It's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, that is bad. Mr. Bill Boeing said, I don't mind the rain. What sucks is the cleaning afterwards.
Yeah, right.
And then I liked what Patrick Halen said, which is that whatever makes you happy is what you should do. So no point riding in the rain if you don't like it. Just ride indoors if that's what you prefer.
I've got a slightly off-piste comment here from Chris Leach 333. He says, I'm not even going to watch this. Not riding in the rain is pathetic. Grow a pair.
I like the fact that Chris did take the time, though, to write you that comment.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. To say that he was not going to watch your video. Yeah.
I'm not watching this, so somehow I know what it's about, and you're pathetic, even though I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Next up. Obviously, it's the Zwift Academy. We've been telling you about it for the last couple of weeks. This was huge for us here. Great to see how many of you are watching it and loving it. Dorothy B said, I really don't know where I'd be without GCN. Heart emoji to Canyon SRAM and Alpecin for sponsoring the riders and the event as well. So yeah, help making it happen alongside Zwift. Billy Ham, my favourite reality show has returned. Looking forward to seeing more of Christoph Rudolph, the Simon Cowell of the Zwift Academy. I love that one. Yeah.
Shall I go to the next one?
Yeah, go for it.
Cat Cycle says, I've never watched Zwift Academy before. I never thought I'd find it interesting, but in this past couple of years, I've become totally hooked on watching the racing, which in itself was a surprise to me. So after seeing all the trailers you put out and feeling the excitement and anticipation for this year's Zwift Academy, I thought I'd give it a watch, and I was not disappointed. I found it fascinating, loved hearing all the thoughts of the coaches in particular. I think it gives a lot of insight into more than just these riders hoping to become pros, but also about pro racing itself, especially for those of us who have only just started watching. What a wonderful comment.
Yeah, super cool. Thank you very much, Kat, for that one. Corbin's Bum said, wow, This was much more fascinating than I thought it would be. Initially, I thought I would have this playing in the background while I did some tidying. I soon found myself sat right in front of the TV telling everyone to be quiet because I was trying to watch something. I love that as well. What I didn't like quite so much is a few comments about my trousers and my shoes as well.
Yeah, would you care to read them out? Read the comments out about yourself.
Okay, Johnny Bob UK said, brilliant to watch, well done GCN. Get Simon some new trousers and shoes. SMAC5479 said, another enthralling series, superb watch, but Si, for God's sake, buy some new jeans. And yes, so... Can I confess, Alex?
Yeah, it's a safe space.
Yeah, okay. I feel like I'm in a bit of a rut, a style rut. Mm. Like, you know, give me cycling kit. I tell you what I want. Mm. When it comes to things like jeans and stuff, like, I don't want to say that I've passed it, but like, I basically need some sartorial advice.
You've got new jeans on today. Come on, stand up, give us a twirl.
Mate, these are not new jeans. Yeah, these are my at work jeans that live in my locker.
These are grey.
This is why I like filming the GCN show, right? Because you never know what I'm wearing underneath.
This is grey.
These are literally jeans that live at work that I've had for about 5 years.
How long have you had those ones from Zwift Academy then?
Well, ironically enough...
Missing the rounds.
Ironically, not as long. So yeah, if anyone wants to get involved in the comment section... Some helpful advice on, you know, what trousers to buy, what shoes to buy, then, you know, I'll get it sorted.
If people are kind enough to make a donation by the YouTube membership platform, and if it specifically says about jeans, I will go and buy some.
No, we can't do that. No, we can't do that. Okay, just advice, please. Okay. That'll be good.
Any birthdays soon coming up?
June the 21st
is my
birthday.
You can eat
those out a bit more.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I will do. They're still good for another trip around the sun, at least.
Right, come on then. What's coming up on GCN the rest of this week?
Right, so on Thursday, in that video we did about bike theft, we had an interview from a chap called Brian Hans, who was amazing. He told us this utterly remarkable story about this epic bike trafficking ring. Where stolen bikes were ending up in Mexico, millions of dollars worth. Anyway, so that's going to be Thursday's vid, where Brian tells us all about that. Honestly, it's incredible to listen. And then on Friday, we have got death by car versus death by driving. So a pretty stark look at safety statistics, which is actually pretty surprising. It should give you pause for thought. And then, of course...
Saturday.
It's the big one on
Everyone
Saturday.
Should know what's happening. Zwift Academy episode 2 is dropping. Same kind of time as last week?
5 o'clock UK time. So no excuses pretty much anywhere in the world.
Yeah. Also, seeing as I'm in place of Dan today, Dan's currently away at the UAE Men's Tour filming a bunch of tech content for us.
Right now, as he said via text message, he's currently in a Belgian bar. But anyway, I believe prior to that, he was doing some filming.
Yeah, so subscribe to GCN and GCN Tech to make sure you see all the future videos.
That's right, yeah. We'll give you a little taste of Zwift Academy, actually, before we go. This is what is coming up in episode 2.
Cue the VT.
This is going to test their bike handling skills just as much as their strength and fitness, because these are no F1 circuits. These are tight, technical kart tracks, and so if there's any weakness in their bike handling skills, our coaches are going to be able to spot it straight away.
Always on the long line, always.
And now push again, push!
Elliot's literally just crashed.
Well, let's see the end result.
I mean, you'd be nervous for this challenge.
Come on, don't break, come on!
Should be a pretty spicy one.
Here, if you go too fast and the wheels slip, you're on the ground.
Noah has actually already hit the deck.
It's kind of nerve-wracking.
Anything can happen.
Look at this, guys.
Honestly, so good. So good. Put it in your diaries. Click on the premiere link. Watch it. Be there or be square. I think we can safely say,
basically,
can't we?
Set all the reminders. I watched the 10-second countdown on YouTube to it going live for last weekend.
Yes, yeah, legend. And so many of you as well watching on TVs as well, which makes total sense for something like this. So that's wicked. All right, Alex, thank you so much, mate, for coming in.
For GCN Shoot. Five-time veteran now.
There Love you that. Go. That is wicked. All right, dude. See you next week.
Yeah, probably not me. See you later. Love you, bye. Please, we've got... That was a quick show, there.
Yeah, wicked. We've done it all now.
Smashed it. So you're not used to, like, someone... You're used to a professional like Dan.
No, mate. We f*** up all the time.
Quick demo for me. I'm new here.
That's it.
Got that. Nailed that first time.
You have, mate. OK, right.
This is great. This is actually YouTube gold.
It is, isn't it?